Today we celebrate the feast of the baptism of the Lord, as I mentioned earlier, which formally concludes the Christmas season. This feast raises two questions for our reflection. First, why was Jesus baptized? And second, how does his baptism speak to our own? In order to answer those two questions, we need to look at that gospel reading from Mark very carefully. That reading is divided into two parts. In part one, the focus is on John the Baptist, whose mission was to proclaim the imminent coming of the Messiah in the person of Jesus. We heard John say in that gospel reading, "One mightier than I is coming after me." Now, earlier in Mark's gospel, we are told that John the Baptist appeared proclaiming a baptism of repentance. For John, the best way for the people to receive the Messiah was for them to turn away from their sinful ways. And so he offered a one-time baptism as an outward sign of people being washed clean of their sins and embracing a new way of life. In that way, they would be better able to receive Jesus with faith and follow Jesus with love. In part two, the focus is on Jesus. He comes to be baptized by John, which raises that question, why was Jesus baptized since he never sinned? Well, there are three reasons why he was baptized. First, Jesus wanted to affirm and support John's call for people to repent of their sins. Jesus would take up the very same call when he began his public ministry. In fact, in Mark's gospel, the very first proclamation that Jesus makes publicly is, "Repent and believe in the gospel." Second, Jesus wanted to show his solidarity with a sinful humanity. Even though Jesus himself never sinned, he understood humanity's need for redemption from sin. And elsewhere in Mark's gospel, he expresses that need in these words, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Third, John's baptism was a dying, rising experience, whereby people die to sin and rose to a new life. This dying, rising experience anticipates Jesus' own death and resurrection, whereby he saves people from eternal death and offers people eternal life. Again, elsewhere in Mark's gospel, Jesus will say of his passion, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, he will rise." Also at the baptism, we are told that the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus as a dove, and God the Father's voice is heard from heaven saying to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This display of the Holy Trinity is significant. It is God the Father who sends his Son Jesus to save the world. It is Jesus the Son who accepts God's will and follows it even to the cross. And it is the Holy Spirit that empowers Jesus to fulfill that mission. From all this, We see how the baptism of Jesus serves two purposes. On the one hand, it affirms the importance of repentance and conversion. And on the other hand, it confirms the divine identity and mission of Jesus. Now for us, the baptism of Jesus invites a twofold reflection. From one perspective, it is about spiritual dying and rising. In the rite of baptism, in some churches, today even still, it was a tradition long ago, when a person came to be baptized, that person would be totally submerged in water as a sign of their dying to sin, and then emerging from that water as a sign of having new life of grace. Now today in most Catholic churches, we don't submerge people in the baptismal font. We pour water over the head. But the significance of the death and resurrection of the repentance and conversions still remains. Also, as part of the rite of baptism, promises are made, particularly to reject sin and fight temptation, as well as to believe in God and follow the Lord. This reminds us that while the rite of immersion or the pouring of water, the baptism itself, is a one-time event, the promises of baptism to continuously repent and convert, to continuously affirm our belief and follow the Lord, that's a lifelong endeavor. Given that, we should ask ourselves, how engaged are you in the ongoing process of dying and How engaged are you in the ongoing process of spiritually dying by fighting temptation and repenting of sin, and of spiritual rising by practicing your faith and converting to a life of virtue? What particular sin might you need to die from now? And what new life could come from that for you? The second perspective is solidarity. By being baptized, Jesus signaled his desire to be in solidarity with humanity. By our being baptized, we signify our desire to be in solidarity with God. Saint Athanasius expressed it in this way: the Son of God became man so that we might become God. Similarly, Saint Thomas Aquinas said, the Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature, so that he made man might make men gods. That's beautiful. Now, given that, we should ask ourselves, how has your cooperation with God's grace brought you into greater harmony with the Lord and conformed you more to Christ? How are you a different person, maybe even a better person, than you were 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago, because you chose to ongoingly die to sin and to rise again with grace? Yes, I think the feast of the baptism of the Lord gives us much to think about. As I mentioned earlier, in the rite of baptism, promises are made to renounce sin and to express our belief in the major tenets of the faith. So I thought, in lieu of our reciting the Nicene Creed together, which we typically do after the homily today, that we would renew our baptismal promises. So I'm going to invite you to stand. Your response to questions is yes, and I'd like heaven to hear you, but more importantly, I want hell to hear you. So, do you renounce sin so as to live in the freedom of the children of God? Do you renounce the lure of evil so that sin may have no mastery over you? Do you renounce Satan, the author of Prince and Darkness? Good for you. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered death and was buried, rose again from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? And then the rite concludes with these words, "This is our faith. This is the faith of the church. We are proud to profess it in Christ Jesus our Lord." And our response to that is, amen. Good for you.